مايك از ميوريد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، brothers and sisters in faith, Alan وسالن وعبد الله وربيع and everybody that you like, welcome to the class of the century, the tafsir of Sheikh عبد الرحمن ناصر السعدي. And we will resume and pick up from where we left off last night. So we will pass over the microphone to the one and only Musab.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. قال رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي واجعل لي وزيرا من أهلي هارون أخي أشدد به أزري وأشركه في أمري كي نسبحك كثيرا ونذكرك كثيرا إنك كنت بنا بصيرا. قال قد أوتيت سؤلك يا موسى.
Hey. Go to Pharaoh, indeed he has transgressed. Moses said, my Lord, expand for me my breast with assurance and ease for me my task and untie the knot from my tongue, that they may understand my speech, and appoint for me a minister from my family, Aaron, my brother. Increase through him my strength, and let him share my task, that we may exalt you much and remember you much. Indeed, you are of us even seeing. Allah said, you have been granted your request, O Moses. The first thing I would like to say is the following. Many brothers who are involved in da'wah, and maybe sisters, have taken these ayat, and every time they want to give a talk, I don't understand how it works, man. They begin their speech by saying, رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةَ مِنْ لِسَانِي يفقه قولي. يا أخي الله يرضى عليك، الله يرضى عليك ويرضى عليك يا جماعة الخير. The religion does not work like this. You don't just pick up any ayah from the book of Allah or a random hadith and then you start applying it across the board in every occasion. There's no harm if you say this once in a blue moon as means of istiftah or the introduction to your speech, okay, if it's done on rare occasions. But for you to standardize this as a way of introducing your speech and ignore specifically and explicitly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say of khutbat al-haja, which is inna alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. That is known as خطبة الحاجة. And that is what you would begin things with in general. Now, for brevity purposes, the scholars allow that you could shorten this concept into praising Allah and sending salah upon the Prophet ﷺ in different formats. So you see me, sometimes I say, Alhamdulillah wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad. Say, Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salamu al-atammani al-akbalani ala khayri khalqillahi ajma'in. We use different formats in order not to give the impression that you have to stick to one without the others, unless you stick to khutbat al-hajah, which is what the Prophet ﷺ used to say. But to ignore all of those and then bring these ayat every single time you give a talk is not from the sunnah. Even worse, people to double down on the innovation and confusion, they begin their speech with أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Ya akhi, the Prophet ﷺ did not begin his speech with ta'awudh. You begin the recitation of the Quran by seeking refuge with Allah from the accursed devil. You don't begin a talk by seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan. Okay. So some brothers begin by saying, "A'udhu billahi shaitan rajim, bismillah rahman rahim, salamu alaykum brothers, how are you doing? Ish hadha ya baba? Ish hadha ya baba? Ish ta'awudh in basmala?" And then instead of Quran, you're going to say, "How you doing?" Ma yiji ya akhi. Ta'awudh basmala, meaning you're going to recite Quran. So we have certain things that people like to be creative, and creativity is a good thing outside of the scope of religion. Once it comes to the religion, you better stick to the sunnah. طيب. So what happened specifically in this occasion? لما أوحى الله إلى موسى ونبأه وأراه الآيات الباهرات. After Allah Azza wa Jal revealed unto Moses and he made him a prophet and he showed him the immaculate signs. أرسله إلى فرعون ملك مصر. He sent him to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. فقال اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. Go to Pharaoh, verily he has transgressed. أي تمرد وزاد على الحد في الكفر والفساد والعلو في الأرض والقهر للضعفاء. Meaning he has gone overboard and crossed the limits in terms of his disbelief, in terms of his corruption, in terms of his علو, meaning raising himself above other people in the world, and belittlement and the tyranny against the weak. حتى إنه ادعى الربوبية والألوهية قبحه الله. To the point that he claimed that he was lordship and divinity. May Allah curse him and humiliate him and make him ugly. أي وطغيانه سببا لهلاكه. Meaning his transgression is the reason for his destruction. ولكن من رحمة الله وحكمته وعدله أنه لا يعذب أحدا إلا بعد قيام الحجة بالرسول. Meaning what he has done was sufficient for him to be punished. However, from the mercy of Allah and his wisdom and his justice is that he does not punish anyone until the proof has been established via messengers. تمام؟ وما كنا معذبين حتى نبعث رسولا. As in Surah Al-Isra, Allah says, and we were never to punish people until a messenger has been sent. So a messenger will be sent. فحينئذ علم موسى عليه السلام أنه تحمل حملا عظيما. At that moment, Musa understood and had perfect knowledge that he has been burdened with a great responsibility. حيث أرسل إلى هذا الجبار العنيد. He's been sent to this stubborn, arrogant individual from all the people, Pharaoh. الذي ليس له منازع في مصر من الخلق. The one who has no one to rival him among the creation in Egypt. وموسى عليه السلام وحده. And Musa is by himself. وقد جرى منه ما جرى من القتل. And we know from the story of Musa that he wind up killing someone mistakenly in Egypt. فامتثل أمر ربه. Regardless, he fulfilled the command of his Lord. وتلقاه بالانشراح والقبول. And he accepted it with an open breast, an open chest and acceptance. وسأله المعونة وتيسير الأسباب التي هي من تمام الدعوة. And he sought from Allah assistance and the facilitation of the reasons and the means, which is how da'wah is perfected. These are the tools via which your da'wah is perfected. Allah's assistance, Allah facilitating your affairs. فقال ربي اشرح لي صدري أي وسعه وافسحه لأتحمل الأذى القولي والفعلي. Meaning, oh Allah, expand and enlarge my chest so that I may bear the verbal and the physical harm. ولا يتكدر قلبي بذلك. And my heart does not get troubled with all of this harm that I will receive. ولا يضيق صدري. Nor is my chest constricted. Nor will my chest become constricted. فإن الصدر إذا ضاق. Because when the chest becomes constricted, لم يصلح صاحبه لهداية الخلق. لم يصلح صاحبه لهداية الخلق ودعوتهم. The possessor of such chest is not suitable to guide the creation and to invite them to Islam. قال الله لنبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah said to Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, فبما رحمة من الله. Because of the mercy of Allah, لنت لهم. You were lenient towards them. ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لنفضوا من حولك. And had you been rough and hard-hearted, they would have spread about from around you. وعسى الخلق يقبلون الحق مع اللين وسعة الصدر وانشراحي عليهم. And perhaps the creation will accept the truth with softness and expand the chest, and so on and so forth. Excuse me. ويسر لي أمري أي سهل علي كل أمر أسلكه وكل طريق أقصده في سبيلك. Facilitate my affair, meaning make easy upon me every matter, that every affair that I engage in, and every path that I tread upon in your cause. وهون علي ما أمامي من الشدائد, and facilitate for me what is coming towards me of difficulties, what I'm going to face of difficulties, inevitable ones. ومن تيسير الأمر أن ييسر للداعي أن يأتي بجميع الأمور من أبوابها. And from the facilitation that Allah gives to the da'i, and we're speaking about da'wah now, so inshallah, people like your noble selves, from the facilitation that Allah Azza wa Jal allows the da'i to come to every subject from the right gate and from the right door. وَيُخَاطِبَ كُلَّ أَحَدٍ بِمَا يُنَاسِبُ لَهُ, and he speaks to every community or every person in what is suitable for that person. ويدعوه بأقرب الطرق الموصلة إلى قبول إلى قبول قوله, and he invites him to the nearest shortcut that could be there for the person to accept his statement. So from the qualities of the da'i is that you're also well aware and you're familiar with the current affairs and with the contemporary issues and with the people and their societies and their cultures and the background, so that you may articulate yourself and speak in accordance with the target audience. So for instance, when someone tells me I have a young child, or he's 15 or 16, he's struggling, you know, he needs some advice. When I have a conversation with a child of this age, it's completely tailored and customized to fit his line of thinking, his capacity to understand, his interests, you know, because they may think I'm young enough, which I'm not, but still somehow I managed to pull it off that I'm young enough that they can relate to me and I could relate to them. And in reality, because I've had a wild life, there is that relation which is there, in all honesty, by grace of Allah. And however, when I'm speaking to an older man, I cannot use the same terminology, nor the same approach, nor the same examples, not nothing actually. There's absolutely nothing similar to the one I have with a 15-year-old when I have it with a 50, 60-year-old man. It's a completely different approach to da'wah. And if he's Hindu, it's going to be not like the Christian. And if it's a Christian, it's not going to be like what, so, you know, atheist. And so for everyone, you need to know what you're saying. And it reminds me of, you know, many funny incidents that happen in da'wah when people are not given this kind of success from Allah, when Allah does not facilitate their affair. And then they go, you know, for the longest time, and they wind up wasting their time and the times of others. And so, you know, there's been brothers who, for example, they grab a person, they assume he's a Christian. He gives them a 20-minute talk about the Bible being corrupt, and he quotes all these biblical verses. And then at the end, the guy tells him, dude, I don't believe in the Bible. I'm not Christian. It's like, oh, sorry. I mean, come on. I mean, if you're given da'wah, you need to know who you're talking to and what to say. You cannot just be ranting for the longest time without knowing what this person actually needs. Who is he? What does he believe? And what is it that you need to say that is relevant to this person? That's common sense in giving da'wah. And it's a facilitation that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that you approach people from that relevant door. For example, when you speak to Westerners, it's not like speaking to Arabs. You know, Eastern people and Western people are completely different cultures. Their approach is different. Someone who barely knows Islam is not like someone who completely knows Islam. And the list goes on. I can give you many examples. I had another funny story in my mind that I can't seem to remember right now, but it's okay. We can skip it. But, you know, many examples of someone giving da'wah and not knowing the context of the da'wah they were given. So the da'wah was a complete fail because they did not know their target audience. So please be wary and mindful of that. وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي وَكَانَ فِي لِسَانِهِ ثِقَلٌ لَا يَكَادُ يُفْهَمُ عَنْهُ الْكَلَامُ كَمَا قَالَ الْمُفَسِّرُونَ. His tongue had a weight in his pronunciation to the point that you could barely understand his speech as per the exegesis experts. كما قال الله عن as Allah said in about him إنه قال وأخي هارون هو أفصح مني لسانا. Musa on another occasion said to Allah, and my brother Harun, he is more eloquent than me in terms of his speech. فسأل الله أن يحل منه عقدة. So he asked Allah Azza wa Jal to remove this knot from his tongue. يفقه ما يقول. So they will comprehend and understand what he's saying. فيحصل المقصود التام من المخاطبة والمراجعة والبيان عن المعاني. So then you have the ultimate objective completed and fulfilled in terms of communication and being able to argue and go back and forth and explaining things properly. And that's another point that I would like to mention and highlight to the brothers giving da'wah. And that is the matter of accents and pronunciation. Now, when you're giving da'wah, you need to know what terms to use, what terms not to use. And you need to know how to pronounce certain words, the ones where if you were to mispronounce them, you may deliver a message other than the intended one. And that happens a lot. That happens a lot when you completely butcher an English word. Now, I'm not a native speaker. In fact, I was born and raised in Lebanon. The first time I ever boarded a plane, I was already 18 years old. I was a grown man when I first traveled outside the country, period. At the same time, by Allah's grace, because I understood the importance, specifically once I started involving myself in da'wah, I realized that there's a lot of work that needs to be done because Arabs generally have a heavy accent. The Arabs have a heavy accent. Brothers and sisters from the subcontinent, mashallah, have a heavy accent. Egyptians, they are the masters of having an unprecedented accent to the point that sometimes you don't know what's going on. Like the words does not, you hear the word is like, what is this? Was this the word that I think that it is? I don't even want to give you examples because this could easily turn into a comedy show, wallahi. But honestly, my advice is, brothers and sisters, please work on your pronunciation. Like use standard pronunciation that is acceptable among, let's say, Americans and British people, because those are the standards. Some words, you know, you don't understand. For many times I attended a talk and the brother kept saying diverse, diverse, diverse. And I thought that he was speaking about diversity, the diverse. It turns out that he was saying divorced. What is divorce? Man, there's no divorce. Maybe they got divorced, became a divorce because you die when you divorce someone. I don't know. But for example, just give you an example. There's no such thing as divorce. And there's no such thing as worship. Because there is a worship. There's a ship that is intended for war and it becomes a warship. And there's worship. Worship, which is, you know, you make dua, ibadah. I'm giving you some examples. Of course, it could be much more compound than this. But you need to work on your vocabulary. And I have shortcomings there, but you need to work on your vocabulary. You need to work on your pronunciation and you need to work on your communication skills. Some people, you cannot hear what they're saying. Notice when Musa knew that he had a deficiency and maybe his words won't be understood properly, he asked Allah to help him untie this knot in his tongue so he can speak clearly. Some people who give da'wah, you don't understand what they're saying. They eat the words and eat the letters and they just... what is the word? Mumming or mumbling or whatever the word is. Now, yeah, I fell into the same thing I was talking about. Let me take a sip of coffee. So you don't even know what they're saying. No, you got to work on your pronunciation. Clear language, understandable to the layman. You know, some words that are advanced, you may have to use them. And if you use them, try to explain them. Otherwise, people will not keep up with what's going on. Like, I remember the first time I was listening to Dr. Bilal Phillips speaking about, you know, something. And he said, anthropomorphism. And I was like, what? What in the world is anthropomorphism? I had to go look it up. And I learned, of course, that it is given the qualities of, you know, Allah Azza wa Jal to the creation and stuff like that. And anthropomorphic, and then you get all these different derivatives from the word. But sometimes when you're talking to the people, then you need to make it a point to explain those complicated words that the average speaker, native or non-native, may not be aware of or may not be familiar with. Similarly, when you're giving da'wah and in another language, you have to bear in mind that when you say something in Arabic, to the best of your ability, you need to deliver that in English as well. Otherwise, the audience will miss out on what's going on. So if you're involved in da'wah and you quote a lot of Arabic statements, then it's on you to also translate all of that to the language that the people you're speaking to understand. Just tips and tricks, inshallah, for improving the da'wah in general, because the objective of the da'wah is that the people understand the message. And so the better you're able to deliver it, the more eloquent you are, the more precise you are, the more concise you are, the more efficient you are, the better, the better, the better. وَجْعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِنْ أَهْلِي أَيْ عَوِينًا يُعَاوِنُنِي وَيُؤَازِرُنِي وَيُسَاعِدُنِي عَلَى مَنْ أُرْسِلْتُ إِلَيْهِمْ. So give me a helper, a grant me an assistant from among my family. Where is it? Let me see exactly. Appoint for me a minister from my family who will aid me, an aid who will aid me and support me and assist me regarding those whom I have been sent to. وَسَأَلَ أَنْ يَكُونَ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ. And he asked that that minister will be from his family. لِأَنَّهُ مِنْ بَابِ الْبِرِّ. Because that is how dutifulness is. That's how excellence and goodness and khair is. وَأَحَقُّ بِبِرِّ الْإِنسَانِ قَرَبَتُ. The people that deserve the most excellence from you are your family members. ثُمَّ عَيَّنَهُ بِسُؤَالِ. Then he specifically asked for هَارُونَ أَخِي. Harun, Aaron, my brother. Ushtud bihi azri, ay qawwini bihi wa shudda bihi dhahri. Meaning, strengthen me through him and strengthen my back. Qal Allah. Allah says in another ayah, sanashuddu a'adudaka bi akhika wa naj'alu lakuma sultana. We will strengthen your back with your brother and we will give you both authority. Wa ashriku fi amri in this surah and surah Taha, ay fi nubuwa. Meaning, join him in my affair. That means in prophethood. بأن تجعله نبيا رسولا كما جعلتني. That you will make him also share with me this task of being a prophet and a messenger just like you have made me. ثم ذكر فائدة الفائدة من ذلك. Then he mentioned the benefit behind all of that. فقال, he said, كي نسبحك كثيرا ونذكرك كثيرا. So we may exalt you much and we may remember you much. علم عليه الصلاة والسلام. He knew, peace be upon him, or may Allah exalt his mention, أَنَّ مَدَارَ الْعِبَادَاتِ كُلِّهَا وَالدِّينِ عَلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That all of the acts of worship and the entire religion revolve around the remembrance of Allah. فَسَأَلَ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ أَخَاهُ مَعَهُ يَتَسَاعَدَانِ وَيَتَعَاوَنَانِ عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. So he asked Allah to make his brother with him, both of them aiding one another and assisting one another upon piety and righteousness. فَيَكْثُرُ مِنْهُمَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. So both of them will frequently and abundantly remember Allah. مِنَ التَّسْبِيحِ وَالتَّهْلِيلِهِ وَغَيْرِهِ مِنْ أَنْوَعِ عِبَادَاتِ. Such as saying Subhanallah and La ilaha illallah and others from among the types of worship. Worship. إِنَّكَ كُنْتَ بِنَا بَصِيرًا تَعْلَمُ حَالَنَا وَضَعْفَنَا وَعَجْزَنَا وَافْتِقَارَنَا إِلَيْكَ فِي كُلِّ الْأُمُورِ. You were ever over us seeing, you see us all the time, you're aware of our condition. The Sheikh said that you know our condition, our weakness, our inability, and our poverty to you in all of our affairs. وَأَنْتَ أَبْصَرُ بِنَا مِنْ أَنفُسِنَا وَأَرْحَمْ. And you see us more than we see ourselves, and you're more merciful to us. فَمُنَّ عَلَيْنَا بِمَا سَأَلْنَاكَ. So bestow upon us of what we have asked of you. وَأَجِبْ لَنَا فِيمَا دَعَوْنَاكَ. And accept what we have supplicated and invoked you about. فَقَالَ اللَّهُ, Allah Azza wa Jal said, قَدْ أُوتِيتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى. You have been granted your request, O Moses. Allahu Akbar. How merciful is Allah? How beautiful is Allah? How kind is Allah? Subhanallah. Look at all these requests. And, you know, to assign a brother of his to become a prophet and a messenger and to aid him in his task. And immediately Allah says, you have been granted your request. Subhanallah al-Azim. أي أعطيت جميع ما طلبت. Everything you asked for, you were given. فسنشرح صدرك. We will expand your chest. ونيسر أمرك. And we will facilitate your affair. ونحل عقدة من لسانك. And we will untie one knot from your tongue. يَفْقَهُ قَوْلَكَ. So they will understand and comprehend your speech. ونشد عضدك بأخيك هارون. And we will strengthen your back and your mission with your brother Aaron. ونجعل لكما سلطانا. We will give you an authority and power. فلا يصلون إليكما بآياتنا أنتما ومن اتبعكما الغالبون. They will not be able to reach you and defeat you because of our signs. You and whosoever follows you will be the dominant victorious ones. الله أكبر. عفوا. وهذا السؤال من موسى عليه السلام يدل على كمال معرفته بالله وكمال فطنته ومعرفته للأمور وكمال نصحه. And this question of Musa, may Allah exalt his mention or peace be upon him, indicates about the vastness of his knowledge of Allah and the perfection of his intelligence and his knowledge of the affairs and how sincere he is. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ الدَّاعِيَ إِلَى اللَّهِ الْمُرْشِدِ الْخَلْقِ. And that is because the caller to Allah, the one who's guiding the creation, خُصُوصًا إِذَا كَانَ الْمَدْعُوُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِنَادِ وَالتَّكَبُّرِ وَالطُّغْيَانِ. Specifically, if the one being invited, if the invitee is from among the people of stubbornness and arrogance and transgression, يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى سَعَةِ صَدْرِ. You need to have an expanded chest. You have to have a lot of patience, basically. وَحِلْمٌ تَامٌ and perfect forbearance. على ما يصيبه من الأذى, regarding that which he will be afflicted with of harm. ولسان فصيح يتمكن من التعبير به عما يريده ويقصده. And you have an eloquent tongue via which you're able to express what you intend and what you desire. بل الفصاحة والبلاغة لصاحب هذا المقام من ألزم ما يكون. Rather, being eloquent and being advanced in your linguistic skills in this context is among the biggest and most important necessities, the most binding necessities on the da'i, is that he is eloquent and he is articulate in delivering the message. So, you know, if you have a problem with your pronunciation, you got to work on it. Okay? لكثرة المراجعات والمراوضات, because of the back and forth rebuttals that happen in da'wah and debates. ولحاجته لتحسين الحق وتزينه بما يقدر عليه, because of his need to decorate and beautify, to beautify and decorate the truth to the best of his ability. يعني when you want to present the truth, you want to package it. The packaging of the truth is important, because you could tell anyone the truth, but it's not about just telling them the truth. It's about how you communicate the truth to them. I can go to a bunch of atheists and say, listen, man, the truth is there's a God and y'all going to hell. See ya. And I walk away. I say, brother, what is this? What kind of da'wah is this? Brother, isn't it true that there's a God? Yes, there is. Are they not going to hell if they don't believe? Yes. Khalas. Huh? What do you want? We say, ya ammi hajj. Walau ya hajj. Walau ya baba. This is not da'wah. This is stupidity. This is stupidity. You have an obligation to beautify the truth and package it in such a way that it appeals. It's appealing to the people. Look, man, at the end of the day, a da'i is a salesman. A da'i is a salesman. And when you sell a product, you need to make it seem like it's the ultimate thing that you need it. It's the idea of letting the people feel that they need this product. And if they don't have it, then they will never prosper and never succeed. And this is what we do when we sell smartphones. That's what I do when I sell smartphones. And, you know, subhanAllah, the worldly skills have benefited the da'wah, and the da'wah skills have benefited the business world. And so, you know, I take from here and put there, and I take from there and put here, and you kind of juggle these things because that's how you progress and that's how you get better. You want to use your sales skills. You have to be a good salesman. But what is it that you're selling? The truth, the most valuable item that everybody really needs. Whereas the phone, yeah, you could live without it. You know what I mean? You could live without it. But you still, they say a good salesman is able to sell sand in the desert. How are you going to sell sand in the desert, man? Anybody can pick up a bucket and get his free sand. A good salesman will let you think that the sand that he will get in his bucket is superior to the one that you can get on your own for free. And he will sell it to you. Tamam? And yes, there are people like this. SubhanAllah, there are people like this. Now, ليحببه إلى النفوس. Why do you do this? So that you may make it beloved to the people, to the souls that are listening. Listen now. وإلى تقبيح الباطل وتهجينه لينفر عنه. And also you have an obligation, يا حبيبي, to make the falsehood ugly, to uglify. Is that even a word? I would like to add that word to the Webster's dictionary right now. Please include it in this upcoming print. To uglify the falsehood and to make it so abhorrent as so that the people repel from it and they want to run away. Ew, falsehood. Ew, shirk, shirk. Ew, ugh, stay away. Innovation, yeah, nasty. Bid'ah, bid'ah, bid'ah. Now, guess what? The deviant people, they hate that. They hate that. They want you to be soft and nice about everything. Oh, brother, it's okay that you're doing 500 bid'ahs a day. Jazakallah khair, mashallah, tabarakallah. And a little bit of shirk that you're falling into. Ma'alish, brother, you know, at the end of the day, you're my brother in Islam and I love you. And isha ya baba, isha ya baba. You cannot. You have an obligation to make the evil and the falsehood ugly and let the people be repelled by it. Just repugnant. It's disgusting. I don't even want to hear it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to smell it. It's ill. It's ill. It's disgusting. ويحتاج مع ذلك أيضا أن يتيسر له أمره. What else does the da'i need? He needs his affair to be facilitated. نعم نعم. فيأتي البيوت من أبوابها. So he comes to each door from the entrance. You don't go from the window or from the backyard or from the back door or from, you know, from the chimney. Well, I don't know what else. You go from the entrance. ويدعو إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة. And he calls to the way of Allah with wisdom and good preaching والمجادلة بالتي أحسن. And when you argue, you argue in the best way possible. يعامل الناس كلا بحسب حاله. He treats people each according to what is suitable for him or her. وتمام ذلك أن يكون لمن هذا صفته أعوان ووزراء يساعدونه على مطلوبه. And it, to perfect the condition of someone in this case is that he has assistants and ministers who help them in his cause. Huh? لأن الأصوات إذا كثرت لابد أن تؤثر. Because when there are many voices, it will definitely have an impact. Huh? So this is again an invitation to you and to the other du'at. When we all echo the same kind of core message, we're not going to be able to echo the detailed aspects of the message because we differ about these issues. But when we all echo the same core message, then rest assured it will have a better impact and it will resonate better with the audience when they hear multiple speakers. They hear me say this, then they hear the same thing from Sheikh Abdul Rahman, then the same thing from Muhammad Tim Humble, then the same thing from Abu Usama al-Dhahabi, then the same thing from Abu Taymiyyah, then the same thing from Fulan and Allan and Madri Ish. When they hear the same thing, they see a pattern and a consistency in the message of Tawheed and the message of calling to the way of the Salaf, then it will have a bigger impact than if you were on your own. Say, hey, I'm here by myself. Nobody wants to hear me. It's not going to fly. It will not be as effective. And also, having assistance in this regard is having family. Your family help you. So, you know, here we alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, it's a family project. One Way to Paradise is a family project. I've had people send me emails before thinking that we have a business and that we're hiring. Allah yirda alayk ya habibi. There's nothing. There's no budget. There's no money. Whatever we've spent on this has for the most part been, you know, from my money and nothing that is supported. I don't remember accepting donations. Maybe somebody sent me way back in the day, they paid for my subscription for something when I was in, you know, when I had first come here. But other than that, there's it's a home project. The flyers that you see, the managing, everything is done by the family. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah bless them all. And may Allah bless your families. But again, this is the responsibility of the man that you try to recruit your own family members to become assistants, because those are the best people that will support you. And if your da'wah wants to, if you want the da'wah to be effective, instead of being a one-man show, you have to set up and you have to record and you have to edit and you have to post and you have to make the flyer. As a speaker, you will be drained. And I know some brothers who are, mashallah, tabarakallah, who are giving da'wah and they don't have any assistance. It's a one-man show. They do the whole shebang. Rather, when you have family members that can help you, then that will be even more effective. And when Allah facilitates your affairs, He will facilitate for you people that will help you in this project. But, you know, these are things that you need to ask Allah for. That's why Musa understood all of this. And that's why he specifically asked that Allah facilitates his affairs, that Allah Azza wa Jal gives him a wazir from his family, Harun, his brother, and so he may help him, and so on and so forth. فَلِذَلِكَ سَأَلَهُ عَلَيْهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ فَأُعْطِيَهَا. That's why Musa asked of these things of Allah, and Allah Azza wa Jal granted him that. وَإِذَا نَظَرْتَ إِلَى حَالَةِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَى الْخَلْقِ. If you look at the affairs of the prophets and who were sent to the creation, رَأَيْتَهُمْ بِهَذِي الْحَالِ بِحَسَبِ أَحْوَالِهِمْ. You see that all of them actually share this condition depending on their circumstances. خُصُوصًا خَاتَمَهُمْ وَأَفْضَلَهُمْ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Specifically, the seal of all of them and the best of all of them, the Prophet Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. فَإِنَّهُ فِي الذُّرْوَةِ الْعُلْيَا مِنْ كُلِّ صِفَةِ كَمَالٍ. He has the highest, he has the epitome, that's the word. He has the epitome of every quality of perfection. Of course, when we say perfection, ya akhwan, in this context, it's always at a human creation level. Human creation level. We are not referring to the ultimate perfection that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That goes without saying. So from the context, you understand, when we say kamal, sifatu kamal, a quality or attribute of perfection, according to human standards. Huh? Be careful. وَلَهُ مِنْ شَرْحِ الصَّدْرِ وَتَيْسِيرِ الْأَمْرِ وَفَصَاحَةِ اللِّسَانِ وَحُسْنِ التَّعْبِيرِ وَالْبَيَانِ وَالْأَعْوَانِ عَلَى الْحَقِّ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ فَمَنْ بَعْدَهُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لِغَيْرِهِ. And the Prophet ﷺ was given the expansion of the chest, the facilitation of the affair, the eloquence of the tongue, the perfection in articulation and in explanation and assistance upon the truth from among the Sahaba, what did not happen to anyone afterwards. To anyone other than him, sorry, not afterwards, no one ever. No other prophet was given that divine support the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given this divine support. It was the ultimate in the ultimate sense. And this is why we are such fortunate people that Allah Azza wa Jal selected us to exist in an era where we follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that we are among those who are preaching his message to the world. Wow, just wow. You know, like, how good does it get for a human being? You're among the followers of the best prophet, and therefore we are the last nation, but the first nation to enter paradise, and the first nation that will be judged on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So we have all kinds of privileges before Allah on the last day versus other nations and other prophets. Do you understand? When all the prophets will refuse to ask Allah to, you know, expedite the process of judgment, because everybody would be afraid that Allah has become so angry, like he's never been angry in the same manner. And every prophet will say, nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself, go to such and go to such. When they finally come to Prophet ﷺ, he will say, ana laha, I am for it. Then he will prostrate and he will make sujood, and he will praise Allah in a way that no one has ever praised him. Allah will guide him and inspire him to praise him in the best way ever. Then Allah Azza wa Jal will say to him, irfa, remove, lift up your head and ask, you will be given. Request, it will be granted. Then Prophet ﷺ will seek intercession for his ummah and for the judgment to begin. So you are a follower of this noble prophet. And furthermore, if you're involved in da'wah at any scale, then you're also carrying that flag of prophethood, in the sense that you're an inheritor of the prophet by sharing the message of the Prophet ﷺ with the rest of the world. And these are just privileges upon privileges that will take, you know, years to explain and expound on. But we will conclude with that, inshallah ta'ala, because I do have something to do tonight. And I'm running a little late, so forgive me. And I want to give you some chance to ask questions. Anyways, it's a perfect place to spot. It's a perfect place to stop. Tomorrow, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal, we will mention how Musa got to where he was in his story with Fir'aun. It's really interesting. Surah Taha. Jazakum Allah khair. Tfaddalu with the questions. Hopefully nothing silly and nothing, no trolls are here today. Otherwise, we will have to block. Yeah. يا حاج oh yeah, we decided any questions about other people will not be entertained. We've spent literally 10 days answering questions about Fulan and Fulan. Do we listen to this guy? Do we not listen to that guy? I think we've gone overboard with speaking about others. Let's have some, you know, beneficial knowledge. I'm not against. I'm very open about criticizing anyone who deserves to be criticized. But, you know, لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ. There's a time for everything. So we will skip questions pertaining to individuals, specifically ones that we've already answered. I've already answered about da'wah men like 15 times. Type. Why did you choose Surah Maryam and Surah Taha? Any reason? We heard that Sheikh Abdul Rahman will be doing Surah Al-Kahf. I believe in Isra. And so we wanted to kind of, just as I was mentioning earlier, we wanted to unite without him knowing, without even aligning with him. Really, we just thought we could do something at the same line so that the Muslims will have material, because Juz' Amma has already been covered. I've already done, you know, Baqarah and Al-Imran and Nisa and Ma'idah and so on and so forth. So we wanted to target something in the middle so you can have more knowledge about this part of the Quran. Now, I have haram thoughts even when I fast and I'm unable to get married financially and in my current state, and I don't know what to do. I never do anything haram with my body parts, but thoughts only, advice. Yeah, we all have these thoughts, brother. You know, that's normal. When you get these thoughts, just distract yourself with something beneficial. Distract yourself and do not entertain the thought. The thought doesn't harm you unless you entertain it. If you don't entertain it, it's all gravy. Just keep moving. And get married, bro. Get married. You don't have to become, you don't have to be super rich to get married. Marriage is the ultimate solution. But until then, do not entertain the thought. As long as you're not doing anything, alhamdulillah, it's a big blessing from Allah. Naam, next. If I intend to fast on Monday, Thursday, and Fajr comes in at 5:30, and I woke up at 5 o'clock to recite a few ayats from the Quran and pray 4 rak'at, will that be considered tahajjud? What's the best way to perform it? Yes, that is considered tahajjud. But why 4 rak'at? It's supposed to be an odd number of rak'at. So it's either 1 or 3 or 5 or 7 or 9 or 11, but it's not 4. And that's completely fine that you do that. Naam. How many centuries ago did the story of Musa take place? I don't know. I honestly don't know. And I am of the opinion, and mark my words, I am of the opinion that such information, the scholars say, عِلْمٌ لَا طَائِلَةَ وَرَاءَهُ. This is the type of knowledge that there's no benefit behind it. There's absolutely no benefit in knowing, for example, what was the name of the woman in Yusuf alayhi salam's story, the wife of the person in charge. Zulaykha, for example, according to some of the stories of Bani Israel. Who cares, right? Just as the people asking, يَقُولُونَ خَمْسَةٌ يَقُولُونَ ثَلَاثَةٌ رَبِيعُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ خَمْسَةٌ سَادِسُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ قُلْ رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ بِعِدَّتِهِمْ مَا يَعْلَمُهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Yani, what benefit does it mean to know how many they were? No benefit. What benefit is there knowing how many centuries ago did the story of Musa happen? No benefit. You could know, but it'll be like information like, oh, okay. Then now, did it increase your iman? That's how you do. How do you judge? After you know, you feel, oh, subhanAllah. Oh, I feel my iman has rejuvenated. I hope that's not what happens. If you don't get that, and you will not get that, you know that this information is useless. Now. How to do da'wah while beautifying it and telling the full truth without sugarcoating it, like we see today, unfortunately. By subscribing to One Way to Paradise, baby. Oh, sorry, is that a sister? Okay, I take it back. By subscribing to One Way to Paradise. I use that term, by the way, loosely with just humans. I don't intend anything evil. This is what we do. And share the channel. Share it with your friends, share it with your family, and see how the approach is. And that's how you do it. There's no point, because you have to understand that your job is to convey the message. Whether the people accept it or not is none of your business. So my job is to convey Islam as is. Oh, your brother, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, I thought it was a disaster upon my head. Anis, hayyallah, Sheikh Anis. So you are then a baby or two babies, come on, not only one baby. Al-Muhim, like I told you, Habibi, your job is to deliver the message. What happens afterwards is none of your business. Once you've done your job, khalas. If you try to change it so the people can accept it, then you have defeated the purpose of delivering the message. Now, apologies for the naive question. What was basis behind the tafsir of Quran? Was it a collection of hadiths? What was basis behind the tafsir of Quran? Was it a, no, the tafsir of the Quran was it a collection, was not a collection of ahadith. The basis behind it is for you to understand the speech of Allah. And that's what the scholars do. They give you the interpretation of the speech of Allah. They use a hadith, obviously, to support it. And they, but the science goes beyond that, because you can explain Quran with the Quran, as in Adwa al-Bayan, Imam al-Shanqiti, Muhammad Amin al-Shanqiti. His approach in his tafsir was tafsir al-Qur'ani bil-Qur'an, to explain Quran with the Quran. Tamam? So it's not just about hadith. Na'am. Next. Uglify, uglified, uglifying seems to be a word, and also uglification. Yes, yes. Zabu, zabuwa, mabuwa. Wallah al-azim, anta baddak ta'liq min ajrak wasalkhtain kete arba'a ya rajal ba'amri ma shifat wahed mitlak anta. Wala minnain tala' li anta, minnain tala' li? Wala ana martiba bahki ma'ak, bahki ma'ak. Wala ksir juz' min hayati. Ba'ana samaytak wa kaman jay ma'i la hon. Yalla, bravo alayk. Aish ya kbir, ah ya uglify, ah. Vimto. Assalamu alaikum, Ustad. Where were you when you were talking about being eloquent? You mean in Arabic or our language on how to be more eloquent? Of course, I was speaking about in your language when you're delivering to the people. Arabic, that's your business. Are you going to give a lecture in Arabic? If you're going to give a lecture in Arabic or in Arabic, then you need to be eloquent in Arabic. And if you're going to give a lecture in English, then you need to try to be eloquent in English. Je ne sais pas. J'oublie le français. Next. Yeah. Why is this Zabua Mabua given all these privileges? Ishada. One question a week for you, ya Sheikh. Nowadays, oh no, come on, go back. Nowadays, almost everyone is on that philosophy and logical fallacies trip. Do we need that to keep up? You know what's crazy about you, bro, is that you ask all the questions that you've already heard me answer. Like 99% of your questions is something that I've answered, and then you ask me again just to tease me. I've put clips on my channel about this, man. Reject your intellect. Ishfi wakhir. Next. Diddi. Bad boy. I have haram thoughts even when I fast. Khalas, how many times are we going to do this one? Sleeping on the right side from the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, it is. Sleeping on your right side is from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Next. Yalla, last question, inshallah. If we do something out of love for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, i.e. using miswak. More questions? Oh my God. Will it be also for the sake of Allah? We will be rewarded. Also, how are you, ya Sheikh? I'm not a sheikh. Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well, as you can see, stressing out here and dealing with some of these questions. Of course, if you do it out of love, then you're going to get rewarded for it. That's the whole idea of following the sunnah. What do you mean, will you also be rewarded for it? That's why you're doing it, in order to be rewarded for it. Of course. Next. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, ya Zaim. Are you drinking actual coffee or you're drinking Nescafe? Nescafe, shame on you. Shame on you to attribute to me the drinking of Nescafe. Nescafe is made for people that have no knowledge and no appreciation to coffee. I'm a true coffee drinker to the core. I'm about espresso. I'm about cappuccino. I'm about latte. I'm about flat whites. I am not about Nescafe. The only time I drank Nescafe was, I don't know how many years ago, on Hajj, when there was absolutely no other form of coffee except that 3-in-1 Nescafe. You open it and you put it in and you put water, and it's like, you drink, it's like, am I waking up or am I falling asleep? Yeah. But yani, alhamdulillah. If that's all you can afford, no problemo. I'm just saying, that's not how I roll. Are we allowed to curse Yazid and Muawiyah for killing al-Husayn? Allah yakhrab bayt shaitanak, ya Sheikh. You're not allowed to curse anybody. Whatever they did is between them and Allah. You zip your mouth when it comes to speaking about the Sahaba and the children, the Sahaba. You zip your mouth. You have no right to curse anyone. They did ijtihad. They were mistaken. Allah Azza wa Jal will deal with them. You have to deal with your own sins and your own mistakes, and you cursing him is not going to get you closer to Allah, and it's not going to benefit you. But you're definitely falling into the methodology of the Shia, who live off cursing the Sahaba. Watch out. Watch out. If you are unsure if you had committed shirk in the past, should you do tawbah? There's no harm in doing tawbah from all of your previous sins and mistakes. Just do like a comprehensive tawbah for all the previous sins. Inshallah, that would be included. Yeah, you should do tawbah, yes. How, you're not sure? I don't know though. Adrumi TV? You have a TV, ya Sheikh? What kind of TV is it? Samsung? My question, is there a specific correct tafsir of the Quran that we should follow? Are there any that we should disregard? Of course, you should follow the tafsir of Sheikh Abdurrahman Nasir al-Sa'di. I think it's there's a brother named Abu Mus'ab Wajdi Akkari. If I'm not mistaken, every night he has this tafsir in English, probably where you are right now. Yeah. Are there others that you should avoid? Of course, there are all types of bogus tafsir out there that you should avoid. Allah yahdika, Sheikh. Ustad Abdurrahman is doing Yusuf and Kahf. Hey, sah, Kahf, not Isra, not Yusuf, not Isra, but Muhum Kahf. So we wanted to connect those. Dear Ustad, were Imam Nawawi, Ibn Hajar, As-Suyuti, Ibn Jazari, Asha'iras? Yes, they were. Yes, they had Ash'ari tendencies. Na'am, Wallahu A'lam. It doesn't make it right. Please, how can I be consistent in reading and completing the Quran from now till the end of Ramadan? By going to this channel and watching the Ramadan checkpoint lecture that was delivered 6 hours ago or so, 5 hours ago. It was delivered 5 hours ago right here in the same place. It was all about that. Okay, so please watch that lecture, like, subscribe, and hayakallah. Is it permissible to lie to stop from exposing your sins? For example, if someone asks you if you drink alcohol and you do, can you lie and say no to keep it a secret? Allahu alam. Usually you can do what they say, tawriyah. Tawriyah is when you play around with words slightly so that you're not lying, but the person understands what you think, what they need to understand. And you understand what I'm saying. It's about creativity. Now, when you're in that predicament though, I have been getting doubts about Allah's existence and His Qadr. What can I do to get rid of these doubts? By having no reason for you to doubt. How are you going to doubt Allah's existence? How are you going to doubt Allah's existence, ya Sheikh? If Allah didn't exist, then how do you exist? If Allah didn't exist, then how does this world exist? Do you see a phone on the table and you say, I wonder if this phone just made itself on its own. I wonder if there was an explosion somewhere in the universe and then Jupiter crashed into gravity and with some molecules from the there came a phone. I'm an atheist. I'm a genius. I'm so smart. You're a retard is what you are. Somebody should punch you in the chest because punching in the face is haram. The hell are you talking about, man? Come on, man. Doubting existence of Allah? Get out of here with that stuff, bro. Don't let this... Look, one thing you can't do in this life is let the shaitan play games with you. Don't let the shaitan, you know, have you like, what do they call these, Muppets or puppets? Where they have these strings and then, you know, and they mess with you like this. Don't. Light rider, take a hike. I'll show you who's okay and who's not okay, Habibi. Allah ma'ak. Tamam? Yeah, if you don't like it, then I'm not here to see you. So the bottom line is, it is a serious question, I understand. And this is how I answer. Again, he's asking me, if any one of you has a different approach, make your own channel. Make your own channel and invite this brother who asked this question and answer them the way you want to answer them. This is my way. If you don't like it, no problem. I respect that. But, you know, leave me alone. Don't come over here and tell me what I need to do. How I answer the questions. That's my business. That's how I deal with people that have doubts. I let them realize how silly it is for them to even let the shaitan play with them in this manner. Because if you try to minimize the impact of the situation and you try to give them like a whole lecture, trying to prove to them, then the shaitan will continue to play games with them. And when you answer this question, they're going to come up with another problem and another problem. I've been dealing with these people my entire da'wah career. I don't know what you've done for you to come and educate me right now. My entire da'wah career, I've come across these people. And 90% of the time, it works. I shock them with the information and the answer and make them feel really silly for letting the shaitan play games with them. That's how I roll. That's how it is effective with me. Otherwise, go send them to Muhammad Hijab. Let him hear a two-hour lecture with all these complicated words so that he can reassure himself that Allah exists. But that's not how I answer it. So don't let the shaitan toy with you, the one who asked the question. Be very firm, be very serious, and understand that these matters are not subject to doubt. Qadr is not subject to doubt. Allah's existence is not subject to doubt. This is something that is straightforward, clear-cut, black and white, done deal. Don't entertain it for a second. When the shaitan comes to you with these thoughts, seek refuge with Allah and keep moving. If you allow yourself to think about them for a long time, they will haunt you for the rest of your life. Message has been delivered. Next. What books can we read to learn about Hanafi fiqh? I've heard that fiqh al-akbar is not accurately attributed to Abu Hanifa. I don't know. I don't know about fiqh. That's not my field. And I don't know what book. And why would you want to read about Hanafi fiqh in particular when there's al-madhab al-hambali, the madhab of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, is known for being closer to the Sunnah than the other madhahib, with all due respect to all. So I don't know why you're selecting the Hanafi fiqh in particular, but you have to understand it is not as sound, nor is it as close to the Sunnah as the other madhahib, specifically the Hanafi, the Hanbali one. Right, next. Are we required to move, do dhikr, or speak between two taraweeh rak'ah or Sunnah rak'ahs? No, you're not. No, you're not. Right, we'll take one more question, inshallah. Is it a bid'ah to recite the adhan in the ear of the newborn? No, we cannot say it's a bid'ah because it is supported by evidences. It just so happens that according to Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, those evidences are weak. Okay? So when something is founded on a tradition, that tradition, the scholars themselves differ about its authenticity, you will be hard-pressed to be able to claim that the one who's still doing it because they perceive this hadith to be sound, to be doing an innovation. You can't really say that. The best you could say is, look, the hadith about calling the adhan in the right ear and calling the iqamah in the left ear is a weak narration, and therefore it should not be acted upon, as in it is not from the sunnah. That's the best you could say. You cannot go to the extent to say it's a bid'ah to do so, because the one who's doing it didn't invent it on his own. He's based it on a hadith that still some of the scholars consider to be authentic. Tamam? So that's it, inshallah. With this, we will conclude. جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته